Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again on my favorite day of the week, Podcast Friday. I wish every day was Podcast Friday, to be honest. Al, thank you for joining me as always. Weather is coming, nice weather. We're almost into June. I imagine we'll be seeing you on your bike for the rest of the summer.
Oh, I hope so. It's been such a frustrating spring, but hopefully things have turned and the brighter days are ahead, so to speak.
Exactly. Well, one of the things I've talked about on the podcast is how it's been such a great platform for creating relationships and friendships. And usually I meet a guest and, you know, we have a great conversation and that leads to more conversations and we become friends. Well, this person I'm already friends with, and I was friends with before she was on the podcast for the first time, but she's joining us again today and I can't wait to talk to her because every conversation is just filled with so much energy and I feel very grateful to be able to call her a friend. So with no further ado, today we are joined by Lori Castleman, a dynamic and innovative business leader with over 20 years of executive experience in the healthcare, insurance, and technology sectors. Lori is the founder and CEO of June, which we're going to be talking about today. That is a specialized care platform connecting women to qualified menopause experts for personalized consultation, diagnosis, and treatment. Her career includes pivotal roles such as president and chief revenue officer at Wello, chief health officer at League, and AVP at Sun Life Financial. Lori is a passionate advocate for women's health, a strategic advisor, board member, and angel investor committed to challenging the status quo and enabling strategic alignment between startups and global enterprises. Lori, I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much, Robin and Al. I'm so excited to be back.
Well, we've had some good conversations and I love that we've stayed in touch over the years. And I've followed your career from League and Wello. And of course, I knew you way back from the Sun Life days through our mutual friend of Kyle Dennis. I'm always amazed how much you have going on. And when you told me about your most recent project, I was really excited to bring you on the podcast because I think it's a really important topic. And the platform, you know, the podcast has become a really valuable place for distributing that kind of information. I know we get tons of great feedback from listeners and clients as well. So I thought where we'd start is like, let's start at the beginning. Mm-hmm. What is June all about? What inspired you to launch it? And how does it address the unique healthcare needs of working women? Because I know, sitting here, working women have some different needs than I do at my point in my life. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. Thank you for giving us the platform to talk about June. And like you, it's just so fun to be back together having a different conversation today. So I'm super excited to be telling you about June and everything that we're doing. So June is a fully virtual clinic focused on midlife women's health. So we are building all of the supports and resources that women need to navigate their midlife health journey. We've been asked, you know, are we a menopause company? And I will say we use the term midlife health because really we're talking about a decade of change for most women. It can start with one or two symptoms or just sort of not feeling like yourself. That can last for many, many, many years before you hit that milestone where you're clinically in menopause. And so we support women right from the very beginning where they're perhaps just not feeling like themselves and trying to get a handle on what are these symptoms and how do I get access to the right experts to help me navigate and treat what's sort of changing within my health at this particular stage of my life? And so we have brought together really phenomenal clinicians. We have nurse practitioners, OBGYNs, all the way through to naturopaths, dietitians, mental health experts, all with specific expertise in supporting women's health needs.
Lori, when we're speaking about this, I'm thinking back to, if we go back to when I knew you, your Sun Life days. And I remember back then when, you know, mental health wasn't talked about a heck of a lot, mm-hmm. right? And fast forward to today, there's so many platforms. All the carriers have stepped up. There have been other companies that have been formed around supporting people. And I'm really happy to see that, especially in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, people started having, I would say, more open conversations around fertility. And now you look at companies like Sprout Family and Mystoria and companies like that. And when you talk about the navigation, I think that's really important. And I'll eventually make my point, but I think it relates to what we're talking about here. Everyone I know that has gone through that fertility journey has said, oh my gosh, the amount of time, effort, and investment to get the answers that you need is just, if these companies like Sprout and like Mystoria had existed, oh my God, that would have saved me so much time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I'm a man, but I haven't heard the menopause conversation. Like, the 10-year time frame is completely new to me. Mm-hmm. Is this something that has been discussed in the workplace before, or is it just because I'm a man, I'm not hearing it? But I'm thinking, you know, with my conversations with benefits clients, I'm thinking I might have heard this, but I haven't. So is this something new that kind of similar to the mental health conversation of 10 years ago or 15 years ago? Am I on the right track with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the mental health analogy, in terms of really reducing stigma and encouraging conversations and providing supports within workplaces, it's a really good analogy. So I think midlife health, perimenopause, and menopause was really not talked about in workplaces for many decades. I think that is definitely changing over the last few years. I think it's a function of a number of things. I'd say one key thing is the fact that the fastest growing demographic in workplaces is women over the age of 45. The other really, I would say, important reality here is that every woman, every individual who has ovaries will go through this stage. And to our previous point, it can last up to a decade. It's not one or two symptoms. There's over 30 symptoms that are very common for women navigating the stage of change. And so I just want to come back to your first question as well, Robin, which was around, you know, what was the sort of impetus for starting June? Mm-hmm. A lot of what I just talked about there were sort of pieces of that puzzle, but also a really important, I would say, driver was my own personal experience. I've been in health and benefits my entire career, which is now more years than I'd like to admit, a couple of decades, right, of working across sort of the healthcare and benefits landscapes. And I went into my 40s pretty sort of unaware of what was ahead of me as it related to aging and hormonal changes. I'm a pretty healthy, active person. And I started to have the experience of these new symptoms or different changes within, you know, my overall health. And as I started talking to friends, colleagues, family members, we were all having these types of changes and really having a difficult time getting access to educated, qualified care to help us navigate. So you touched on the navigation point. It is very challenging for women at this stage to really get direct access to great care. And part of that is the fact that most practitioners don't have a lot of training and specialization in this particular stage. Only 7% of general practitioners, they themselves report they feel adequately prepared to support women in this stage. So ultimately, we just recognized that there was a really big opportunity to do better and to reimagine what that care journey could look like for women by bringing together really qualified practitioners, helping to train those practitioners, helping to coordinate care, and then directly connecting them to the individuals who are seeking that care.
Hey, Lori, so I am just a little bit curious. How'd you come up with the name?
So June was my grandmother's name, and my grandmother was someone that really was a great inspiration and force in my life. She's someone who I would say lived her life with little access to great means. She didn't have a lot, but she gave a lot. So she was very, very active in her community and her church. Even when she was struggling herself to make ends meet, she was making meals for the homeless and working with a group of women to make quilts for children in the children's hospital. She was a bomb girl during the war, working in the munitions factories with other women. So she was just someone, I think, who really was always finding ways to contribute and to challenge herself. She was a scratch golfer into her 80s. Anyway, she's been a great inspiration in my life. And I think that's part of the brand and the focus that we're building at June. So the name just felt really perfect. You know, a woman who's a sort of a girl's girl, but also someone who's contributing in a strong and powerful way in all aspects of her life, felt like a great inspiration for us at June.
That's an amazing story. I'm glad I asked the question. And what a great legacy for your grandmother. That's a wonderful story.
Thank you so much.
So Laurie, you've touched on this maybe a little bit already, but maybe we can dig into it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned your own experience and speaking with friends and colleagues and that type of thing. But it sounds like you're trying to bring this more into the workplace. Like, how do you see that developing and how do you see that conversation starting to happen at the workplace more than just being able to reach out to some friends? Mm-hmm. What type of those supports do you see being in the workplace so that people can have that conversation?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it often just starts with conversations, right? And an acknowledgement that, listen, this is not a small niche thing that's happening. It's actually pretty broad, pretty common experience. And so destigmatizing conversations about women's health and about aging, both for women and men in workplaces. And what comes along with aging is often a set of health needs or care needs. And I think really for employers, you could frame it as it's a health issue that should be paid attention to. We frame it as it's a health opportunity, right? You're talking about a significant portion of your workforce that's struggling to get access to appropriate care. And by providing a benefit that directly addresses that need, you're really, you know, sort of enabling that portion of your population to perform at their best, right? And performance is key in organizations. We know great organizations are made up of great people, and really empowering them to be their most productive, most high-performing selves is a win-win all around.
So can you talk about, I'm assuming that you're trying to bring this more and more into the workplace. Like, have you seen, what is people's, let's call it uptake on this type of conversation? What has the reaction been so far? Can you talk about any experiences that you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is it's early days, right? And I'll go back to Robin's analogy, you know, early days around sort of the mental health conversation. Mm-hmm. It often starts with, again, creating a more sort of destigmatized, open conversation within the workplace. A lot of thought leadership, digging in and understanding the research. In some cases, that's followed by some policy and practice change, right? Creating education sessions and whatnot to just elevate a focus on this particular area of care need or health need. And then you're getting into now let's provide products, services, platforms that can really support, I would say, like the execution of direct care and direct access. And so, like I said, it's early stage, but the really exciting thing for us, and I think it's a bit of a sort of strategic opportunity as well. We typically are engaging with benefits leaders. We're engaging with HR leaders. In many instances, the individuals that we're talking to have personal experience. And so they themselves are recognizing, well, hang on, I can actually directly connect with this particular need. And then when we start to really build in, here are the data points on the prevalence of these symptoms and these issues that are faced by many women in your working population, those dots start to get connected, right? And we've built a structure where it's a pretty low entry point from a price perspective. And then we've built a very personalized approach. So we recognize every individual is different, may need different types of appointments or different volume of appointments. And so we have moved away from this concept of sort of blended rates, right, where we're trying to forecast general utilization across a population. And really, the employer is just supporting the point of entry, which is really that sort of platform subscription fee. And then all of the other products, services, supports are at the individual level. And we help them navigate their benefits to support all of the care needs that they will have. So there's a combination of benefits utilization as well as some out-of-pocket pay for things that they choose to move forward with, they may not have coverage with.
Laurie, you talked about aging both men and women. Mm-hmm. And when I look in the mirror these days, I realized, you know, I finally had to change my profile picture on LinkedIn, which was very painful. But I felt like if I was in the single dating world and they looked at my LinkedIn picture and then I showed up, they'd be sorely disappointed. So I finally had to upgrade. And, you know, I say to people, though, and because I take it in stride, I think I earned every single one of these wrinkles. And quite frankly, they're not wrinkles. That's where I store my wisdom.
Oh, I love.
And I'd love to go back because I've known you a long time and everything that I'm doing today, and I always joke around with Al, I said, oh, I wish I could go back 10 years. But 10 years ago, I didn't have the same amount of experience and wisdom that I have now, right? Everything that I'm doing now and everything that I'm contributing back to my clients, my team, is a result of all the business experiences. So from your standpoint, you know, Wello, League, Sun Life, TELUS, how has that affected or influenced your approach to leading June?
So I agree with you completely. I am deeply grateful for every experience that I've had throughout my career, some longer, some shorter. You touched on a few, I would say, pretty impactful roles that I've had. So I would say with organizations like Wello and League, the foundational learnings and experience in those organizations were really about building, right? And building with purpose and thinking really carefully around what the end user needs were. You know, the beauty of working in earlier stage companies like those two, you have every opportunity to be agile, to be fluid, to sort of build and iterate quickly, and to do really, I would say, like intimate customer listening. That's really exciting. You know, I think as someone who's pretty passionate about relationships, I have a really curious mind. I love problem solving. Those opportunities were fantastic because I worked with great founders, great technology teams and product teams, and we were really able to listen to the end member, the end user, and build to their needs. So I'd say that's a really foundational element that I'm bringing into the work that we're doing here at June. We're doing an enormous amount of customer listening, asking our members, how else can we support you? What other practitioners would you like to see on the platform? What other components of your health journey can we support on the June platform and experience? So I think that's been pretty fundamental and pretty foundational. And then I think, you know, in larger organizations like Sun Life and TELUS, I think really learning to operate at scale, really understanding the dynamics of payer and employer considerations, operating in highly regulated, sort of compliance-oriented, governed organizations. You have to respect the importance of all of the elements that sort of come into play for any organization. So I think great learnings around the complexity in large organizations and how that complexity impacts decision-making and prioritization. And then, you know, as I said, also just a great respect for the layers and the considerations around regulatory environments and governance that we need to bring into what we're building at June. The beauty is operating in a healthcare environment, you absolutely have to respect. For example, we work with personal health information every day. We have a tremendous degree of respect for protecting that personal health information. But I think the beauty of having had those larger organization experiences as well is we are building with that future view and those future needs in mind from day one. So we're sort of building to a gold standard, highest compliance, highest governance objective and vision right from day one. So you're not sort of making the missteps that some early organizations, perhaps with less of the scars, could be making, right? We sort of know what's ahead of us and we're building with that in mind.
Let's drill down then a little bit further. Did you grow up in Toronto?
Just outside of Toronto, yes.
Okay. You ever heard of the Brunswick House?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I remember being 19 and sitting in the Brunswick House, and a friend of a friend was there, or someone that he knew. I was 19 and I found out he was 30. And I said, what the heck is he doing in here? He's 30. He shouldn't be in a bar. Like, that's for us, 19 to 23, let's call it. Being in a new health tech startup. Mm-hmm. And when most of our listeners would think, oh, startup, founder, we're dealing with someone who's very, very young. But again, you just talked about you've got some of the scars and maybe not making some of those. So I guess what I'm asking is that an uncomfortable feeling when you're going into some of the places where you might run into other people? Or do you feel, hey, I've kind of got an advantage here, even though I'm in a startup?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think you don't embark on something like founding a company at this stage of your life without being a bit uncomfortable, right? It's definitely a nerve-wracking, uncomfortable thing, I think, for any founder. I mean, you guys know, you've started companies, right? It's a big step to take. But I think I was fortunate to sort of come to this point and this passion for starting June with a lot of that experience and also with the confidence to know, listen, I know what I'm doing, right? I've done it in other organizations with other sort of executive teams and founders. I have the confidence to know that I added a lot of value in those organizations. And I also know that I can't do it alone, right? So it takes a village. And this is the other beauty of doing this at this stage of life is I have built a phenomenal network of really talented people that I've worked with over the years, whether that's customers, team members, partners. And I've been able to engage some really phenomenal advisors who are coaching me on the things that perhaps are less of a strength or less of a skill set. But also I have great, you know, advisors or individuals who have the experience that I can bounce things off of, right? And just get great advice or use as a sounding board. And then also the team that I've been able to build over the last, you know, we're a couple of years in at this point, really fantastic, talented people that bring the strengths that I don't necessarily have myself, let's say on the technical side or the engineering side. And you can just see as soon as you bring those people in, it's a game changer, right? So I think it's also at this stage of life, you know, your strengths, you know, where there's opportunities to surround yourself with really talented people that like level up that vision of what you're trying to do. So just back to your question, I would say there's, of course, a level of discomfort with many aspects of a lot of the newness of this. But going into conversations with customers and partners and whatnot, it's very familiar to me. And so that's a comfortable space for me, right? I'm excited to tell them about what we're doing and how we can solve a problem they might not even know they really have yet. And I think using data to make that case for them and help them understand what sort of the problem and the opportunity is and how we can help solve that, that's an exciting position to be in. And then I think also just back to the point of we're early stage, so we can work with those customers to modify and customize and meet their needs in that really agile way. That's fun. Right? That's really fun to do where you can be strategic and partnering even with those early stage customers to make sure you're meeting all of their needs and respecting the considerations they have.
Lori, what's success going to look like for you? Like at what point, and I know this isn't, you know, it's not a destination necessarily, but what does it look like when you say, I think I'm there. I think I'm where I want to be.
I'm going to give you a two-part answer, Al, because I love this question. So the first is I talked about this being personal for me. I'm someone who has great access to healthcare resources and enough knowledge to advocate for myself. And as I entered this stage of sort of midlife and started to experience some changes and sought care and treatment without a lot of time. Frankly, I'm a busy working mom. I didn't have a lot of time to be bumped around trying to figure out how to get access to care and get back to a good spot where I felt 100% like myself. It took me over 6 years of many different appointments and many tests to really get on a treatment plan where I felt like myself again. And frankly, that built a great passion in me because I just thought it should not have to be this way when so many women are going through this stage. And we all, of course, have different experiences. But the fact that I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of access around healthcare, and it took me 6.5 years, I thought, this is wild that this is not easier for women. And I will say to your success question, when we first launched June, and we had our first members going through the end-to-end journey, we were able to take my 6.5 year journey and turn it into a 5-day experience for women.
Wow, that's awesome.
They were coming through, going through the sort of intake and assessment process, directly getting connected to the right expert practitioner. In an early member's experience, she was given a prescription for hormone replacement therapy. We've integrated an e-pharmacy. Mm-hmm. So that was delivered to her door, covered by her benefits. That whole end-to-end process was 5 days. So that definitely felt like a moment of success.
Right.
And then I think the other piece is now just scaling that, right? Success for us is impacting as many women as we possibly can. And so I think being able to sort of replicate that type of experience, knowing that it has to be personalized to each individual, but just making it easier, removing barriers, and really creating convenience in that women's health experience, knowing how busy these individuals are, allowing them to take care of themselves and sort of put their own oxygen mask on first really easily at scale is success for us.
I love that analogy of putting your own mask on first before you help someone else. Well, congratulations on that success. And it sounds like you're certainly headed in the right direction, and you've got some, well, you got some lofty goals ahead of you, but you're on the right path.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Lori, one of the things that, if I, again, go back in time and wish I had done sooner, was saying yes to partnerships. Mm-hmm. Because I've explored that recently and it's worked out really well. And sometimes in the beginning, you don't even know what's going to come out of it, but you know, you come up with an innovative idea and now you're down a path and you've started something and you know you've created something great when you see other people trying to copy it and do it, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can you maybe talk to us about just the importance of those partnerships that you see in startups and other organizations and how to best use that to drive innovation?
Yeah, absolutely. So just around partnerships, I would say for me, I really think that we all need to sort of acknowledge strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, we touched on early stage companies and we touched on sort of larger organizations. And I think there's a really interesting opportunity when you have two organizations working together who understand strengths and opportunities. And I think I've been able to navigate and create some really exciting partnerships throughout my career. And I think that's just reinforced for me how much additional incremental value can come when you bring two complementary organizations together. And when I say, you know, the value that comes, it certainly comes to those organizations, but it also often comes to your end users and your customers. And so I would say for us at June, knowing that we can't do everything ourselves is important at this stage. And so we've been able to partner. I'll give an example of we wanted to be able to do an end-to-end customer journey that related to meeting with a practitioner and perhaps getting some supplement recommendations on top of a prescription. And so we've integrated a company called FullScript. They're phenomenal. I've worked with them in the past in other organizations as well. And so, you know, just leaning on great relationships at the senior level, they were willing to sort of make a bit of a bet with us, given that we're early stage, integrate with our platform, and we are driving quite a bit of volume and know we will drive quite a bit of additional volume. It's just one example, right? Where if there's sort of confidence and understanding of that incremental value that can be added when parties come together that have synergies or sort of symbiotic interests, that's where I think the beauty and the magic starts to happen.
It says a lot about your reputation as well, because you were saying at the beginning when we first started chatting about, you know, you've built a lot of great relationships. You work with some great founders. You work for some really good companies along the way and a lot of people in leadership. And now when you're going back to me, you already have a proven track record. So when you're approaching these partnerships, and I know even though it's a startup, I know I'm getting Lori and all of her experience. To me, I'd have to imagine it would be much easier for them to say, yeah, I'm going to take a bet on this. Because if Lori and her team are behind this, then it probably has a pretty good chance of success. So I think it speaks volumes about you as well. And again, these are my wrinkles. This is where I'm holding my wisdom. So, you know, anyone who gets to work with me gets all that wisdom as well. And I'm sure that, again, makes it so much easier to say, yes, Lori, let's work together. Let's figure this out.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Robin. It means a lot to me coming from you, because I know you also have built a great reputation and phenomenal relationships. And I tell my kids this all the time. Don't underestimate the power of doing the right thing and sort of not just living your life with integrity, but also going into your career with a lot of integrity and a lot of empathy and deeply caring about the individuals that you're working with and surrounding yourself with. I think relationships are everything, right? And you never know, right? You never know when, if you have a curious, sort of interesting new conversation with someone, you never know where that's going to lead. And as you were saying, once you're sort of years into your career, people come back over time. You sort of run into people that you worked with or partnered with earlier in your career, and there's new ways to work together. And when you keep that thread of just really having a high degree of respect and doing the right thing by people, people want to work with you, they want to partner with you. And so I do feel very fortunate to have some really great relationships with people from early in my career that are coming back and working with us now or buying from us as customers. But I would say more than anything, it's just something that I personally care deeply about. I think the relationships and the network are everything.
I did a post a couple of months ago about that on LinkedIn, just about, you know, do the right thing from as soon as you start your career, because when you're 10, 15, even 20 years from me now, you're attending these industry conferences. They're either going to be really fun because you've made a lot of great connections along the way and you've built a great reputation, or they're going to be terrible because you haven't done the right thing. You've slighted people and no one really wants to see you. And you're going to be sitting at that table at the back by yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So your choice.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, I think we all have to recognize too, sometimes that's not easy, right? To just sort of forgive and forget and move on and maintain relationships. Because, you know, sometimes you feel wronged or you feel like perhaps things haven't resulted in the way that you would prefer. But I think this is something that my dad taught me really early in life, which was sort of the concept of forgive easily. Right? Because that whole notion of sort of withholding forgiveness and not moving on, ultimately, you're sort of creating a negative in your own life.
Very true.
So I think letting go and moving forward and just really moving throughout your life and career optimistically and to your point, with a focus on doing the right thing, only serves you well.
Are we ready to dive into our final question? Are you up for it, Lori?
I am up for it. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, here we go. Your career has centered around transforming healthcare experiences, especially for women, and creating more equitable access to care and leadership opportunities. So in the spirit of the proverb, a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. Can you talk about what proverbial trees you might be planting today and that you hope will empower future generations of women and leaders?
I love this question so much. So thank you for asking it, Al. I think often about legacy. I touched on my dad, and it's something that he talked about a lot as well. I know it's something your team cares about deeply as well. And so I think about, what do I want to leave for my daughter and for any woman to have sort of as an experience and to learn from sort of those women that come behind me. right? And I do think I envision a world where women do not have any sort of barriers or challenges in terms of equality when showing up on a level playing field. And I think it's part of what drives me from a passion perspective at June. I think we are very focused on ensuring that we remove the barriers that exist for women as they go through this very important time in their lives to show up as their best, most effective, most high-performing selves in all areas of their life. And so for me, I just really think that this work that we're doing now and the relationship piece that I touched on previously, right, around building great networks, surrounding yourself with great people, accomplishing great things. I hope that's part of the legacy that I will leave for my daughter and for other women that sort of come behind us and don't experience some of the barriers that we've experienced because we've removed them for them.
Yeah, I love that. And it would certainly be a great time if we can get there. So it's going to be a long process probably, but every little bit moves us closer to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just add to Al, I think really encouraging curiosity, right? And from a planting trees perspective, I think as a woman who's a founder, who's focused on, you know, sort of the women's health space, I hope that I am also showing other women that it is very possible to take that somewhat uncomfortable step forward. We're seeing more and more women founders, certainly incredible women business leaders and funders of these early stage companies. I think more is certainly still required. There's too little funding for women founders and sort of women entrepreneurs. But the more of us that take this leap forward and sort of push the opportunity and demonstrate that these businesses are highly investable, there are great leaders driving change and reimagining journeys, products, and services that impact individuals globally, but also change the narrative and the dynamic for women in business. That's a really exciting opportunity for me as well. I hope that's a seed that I am helping to plant along with many other incredible female founders that I'm inspired by.
Yeah, and hopefully with platforms just like this, you know, we can help to grow those seeds. And I think it's great that you've talked about that. So thanks. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you are definitely helping to plant those seeds and providing an incredible platform to really, you know, have individuals tell their stories. So thank you. I'm excited for you guys and for the great work that you're doing at Success Leave Clues. And you're close to 250 podcasts at this point, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. By the time this goes out, I'm sure we will be over. So yeah, it's exciting. And Lori, we had an event recently and we'll be having more for sure. But I remember sitting in the room and there's about 35 of us and I'm sitting in the room and I'm just seeing people connect and having a great time and just this community that has been built around the podcast. And it was a surreal moment for me because when I go back in time and I think, I remember the day St. Al, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. And he asked me, oh, how do you do that? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to figure it out. And here we are, right? So it's been such a wonderful journey. Lori, I am such a fan of yours. I'm a fan of yours from a business perspective. I'm a fan of yours. You're a great friend. I'm very grateful to call you a friend. I'm so excited for this new opportunity you have. And I'm going to continue to watch your journey. And I look forward to future conversations. For people who want to find out more about yourself and your journey or June, what's the best way for them to reach out?
So you can always reach out to me personally on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so I will certainly check messages and follow up. And you can reach out to us in the business at junehealth.care.
Very cool. Well, that does it for today's episode. As always, Alan, I hope you really enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. If you have any questions for us, please feel free to give us a call or rejoin the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here again. Success Leaves Clues. We'll see you next time.